Please turn this afternoon to Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Mark 14. This morning we started looking at what it means in Scripture to pray with godly complaint. We said that there are the main reason that you pray to God in lament or in complaint is when you see injustice, you see evil taking place, and it does not appear to be any reason why. It's not the consequence for sin. And whether you see it in the world, you identify things, or even if it's not something that's at arm's length, but rather something in your own life, with a situation that's close to you, if you find yourself in danger or struggling or in trial or something like that, that is definitely a reason to lament unto God. We said that there are several things or several attributes of godly lament. The first one, and it's displayed in the Psalms and other places in the Scripture, is that there is prayer with emotion. That we should not try to just hold our emotions in to keep them controlled when we're going before God, because He's our Father. And He knows our thoughts. He knows the intents of our heart before we do. He knows us better than we know ourselves, because our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. But we are called to confess and to speak plainly, so that in addition to speaking with emotion, to being real, we should also speak with plain words. We should speak in a way that communicates everything that we are thinking and everything that we are feeling to God. And we looked at the way that David did that, especially in the Psalms, that he said things that some of us would call scandalous if we heard someone pray. He says, "Lord, have you removed your mercy from us altogether? Have you cast us off? Do you not hear our cry?" We wouldn't dare do that. But David did. David did it inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to change our definition of what is godly and cause it to be conformed to what God's Word says is godly. So he spoke with plain words, but also he appealed regularly to God's faithfulness in his prayer. When you see things that are going wrong around you, we should call upon God as not only just a distant granter of wishes, but as the God who hears our cry. The one who is our Father, who has brought us into his kingdom. He has brought us into His house as His children. And He has promised us that He will preserve us throughout generations. And David and the psalmist Asaph both spoke of God's faithfulness when they were praying unto Him. And they appealed to His faithfulness so that He would display it in the answer to prayer. Now, that is not twisting God's arm. That is not saying, or we should not take the attitude that if I can use all the right words, then I can convince God to give me what I want. It doesn't work like that. There are no magic words. The times that David prayed, he did not always get exactly what he wanted. And that leads us to the fourth attribute of godly lament, is that there must be submission to God when we're praying. There must be submission to God when we are praying. In Mark 14, verse 34, Jesus is speaking to Peter, James, and John, his closest disciples. And he saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. We need to really get a hold of the meaning of this passage. Jesus asked his Father, the God-man, the one who brought the very creation into existence, who humbled himself and became man, asked his Father that if it were possible, redeem your people a different way. Jesus asked God, if it's possible, please take this from me. Think about what that means. The purpose that he came was to save his people from their sins. And the only way to save his people from their sins was to be a sacrifice. Yet, he asks, this is the only hope you and I have, is that he would go to the cross submissively and die. And he asked if there's another possible way. There should be no doubt that this was an earnest prayer. This is not just an empty phrase Jesus gives so that, you know, people will later on read it and say, okay, yeah, he was human. It says, verse 35, he went forward a little and fell on the ground. In a different place it says that when he prayed, he was under such anguish that he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. There was deep anguish in Jesus Christ. His prayer was genuine. Because he never sinned, this request was not sinful. The request that he made to God was not sinful. That should teach us something about requesting to God. When we ask for him to do something that we know is right, that we know is in accordance to his word, when we ask him to do something, we should not be afraid to ask and ask boldly. Because Jesus, now think about it. If God the Father is going to grant anybody's prayer request, would it not be his only son? Because we don't have to worry about there being any sin in it. If he's going to grant someone's request out of all the people of the world, he would grant his. In fact, you and I must go through Jesus Christ to pray to God. So it's only that we pray through him that we have anything granted to us. In our deepest pain and despair, God hears our cry. Whether or not we feel like he hears, whether we sense that he hears, he does. And that, let me just take a brief parenthesis here and say, I've been listening some to the John Piper's Desiring God conference that they held recently dedicated to prayer. The entire conference was on prayer, and what I've listened to so far has been fantastic. But one of the things that John Piper has referred to that I think is a very good point for us to take heed to is that prayer is not designed to be an experience with God. Prayer is not given so that we can go to God and have an experience. Prayer is our communication with God. The goal is to talk to God, to communicate with him. It is not to feel like you've talked to God. And there is a difference. And when we pray to God for the purpose of just getting to feel better, that can turn into an idol. We need to be careful of that. Close that parenthesis. Sometimes God withholds granting our request, a request that's according to his word. Sometimes he withholds granting that for a greater purpose. I'm not going to pretend that I know, I can tell you what that purpose is all the time. I know this. It has to do with his glory. Was the murder of Jesus sinful? Yes, it was. If the Father did not intervene, Jesus was about to have the greatest sin in human history committed against Him. So He asked the Father, Jesus knew this was coming, He asked the Father to remove it, but He did not. In his epistle, Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And God raised Him up literally in due time. Not just from the dead, but He raised Him up to be seated on a throne where He now rules and reigns. When we ask, we should ask in faith to God because He is our Father. But we must always ask in submission to His will, and we don't know always how He's going to work something out. And this determines, this fact, if we're praying in submission to Him, this determines whether or not our hope is in God, or our hope is in the answer coming that we want. And that's something that needs to be checked out when we pray. Because if our hope is centered on God answering the way that we want, we have created an idol. Because our hope is not in God. Our hope is in an event happening in a certain way. So that means if that event doesn't happen in that way, we're going to be upset because we have based our being and our faith on the event transpiring and not on God Himself. The author of Hebrews says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We should all be very thankful to God that Jesus' hope was not based in God answering His prayer in the garden the way that He asked, but that His hope, His joy, was in glorifying the Father. Because of that, we now reap eternal life. So we must rely on God and His faithfulness, not on our request, as we seek to walk in submission to His will. But that then takes us to the last point about a godly prayer of lament. Righteous complaint or lament retains hope in God throughout. Righteous lament retains hope in God. The whole point of prayer is looking to God, calling upon God in faith. Because we believe that He hears, and we believe that He will respond. Yes, there are times when He will not respond the way that we ask. But you know, God's Word is filled. I don't just mean a few places here and there. It is filled with instances of us seeing how people prayed to God and prayers were answered. And we looked at last week how in some cases it even uses words like, and God repented of what He was going to do because of the prayers of the saints. So we don't have the right, as His children, as His friends, as His servants, to, if something doesn't happen exactly the way we want, we don't have the right to say, well, I'm going to pack up my toys and go home and not pray anymore. If you compare the requests that are made, the number of requests made in God's Word that were answered from men like Abraham and Moses and Job. Remember, Job had to pray that God would not strike his friends dead. Because God told his friends, I'm not going to hear you, but I will hear Job. So you better be really good to him, and you better go ask that he'll pray to me, and I'll spare you. And he did. After his friends had talked to him the way that they did, Job still prayed for them. So, Job. You have prayers of the apostles in the book of Acts that we see answered in the book of Revelation. You have women like Hannah, who are barren, who prays earnestly to God, and God grants her a child. So you can just find numerous examples in God's Word of Him answering the prayer, and the most notable prayer that I know of that was not answered is Jesus' prayer in the garden. And that's when I say it was not answered the way that if we were praying that prayer, it would not have been the exact way that we wanted. So, we have numerous examples of prayers being answered. We must be careful when we are in the strongest and greatest depths of a trial to not become despairing. There is a difference between lament and despair. Godly lament is not hopeless. Proper complaining to God means that although we are saddened over something, we hurt, we long for something to be changed, we are not controlled by doubt. We are not controlled by the hurt, the pain, and the despair. Righteous complaint retains faith and hope in God. Otherwise, it's unbelief. And it's possible. Not just possible, it's done on a regular basis. Christians pray and don't anymore believe that that prayer is going to be answered. They're saying words because that's what's expected. But there's no faith. Well, Jesus said that there are certain places He would not perform any miracles. Why? Because they didn't believe. Not just believe that He could do miracles. I mean, the people in His hometown knew that He could perform miracles. That's the problem, is they didn't believe Him. You have people who are blind. We looked at this, an example of this last week. The blind man who called upon Jesus and he said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The phrase means that this blind man believed that Jesus was the promised one. So the man believed not just that Jesus had power to help him recover sight, but that Jesus was the one promised of God. "Son of David, have mercy on me." The people say, "Shut up. Be quiet." And the man cries louder. Goes against all social conventions. And he's healed. And Jesus says, it's because of faith. That doesn't mean either that we can just, you know, work up enough faith, we're going to get whatever we want in our time. The faith is in God. Again, it's not in the answer. If we read David's laments in the Psalms, something that you will notice in almost every place that he is lamenting something, there will be at least one phrase that will display the hope that he has. And I've not read in my survey yesterday, and it was brief, but when I was looking over the Psalms, I did not find one that's just totally, it's all negative and complaining and despairing without at least one verse, sometimes more, where he speaks of the faithfulness, the goodness in God. Now, we've looked at several Psalms this morning, but I want to show you that in those Psalms that we looked at, the Psalms of Lament, that this is true, that there is a place where he speaks of God's goodness. He retains faith and hope in God. In Psalm 60, after he has said, "O God, thou hast cast us off, you scattered us, you've made the earth to tremble, you've shown your people hard things." In verse 12 of that psalm, he says, "Through God we shall do valiantly, and He it is that shall tread down our enemies." So, you've cast us off, you've caused the earth to tremble, and he goes on and on and on, and then at the very end, "Through God we shall do valiantly. In Psalm 55, I'm going to go backwards. Psalm 55, verse 16. This is, again, a psalm of lament in the first portion. But in verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, or he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, and there were many with me. Psalm 54, in verse 6, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Now, I'm not reading all of the lamenting portions of these psalms, but you can go back and look. These are not the psalms that start out, praise you the Lord, and they continue talking about praising the Lord the whole way through. These are the ones where he starts out talking about just how bad it really is. But he, toward the end, he defines his hope. Psalm 13 and verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. This is after he's just said in verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Some of the more secular psychologists would have a field day with David's Psalms, and have, in fact. You can read in some journals they've dissected supposed problems David had with keeping his thoughts straight. That, I mean, many times people call David bipolar, and that's not uncommon to read, because they said, you know, it's how can you say in the same passage, how long will you forget me, O Lord? And then, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. The world has no explanation for that. So they just peg it with a name and explain it away. No. This is the life of a believer, of a saint, child, covenant member of God's people. These should be the words of you and I. We cannot become despairing when we feel like we are totally cut down. The hope of David was in God despite all the trouble that he had. And brothers and sisters, we will probably not face the type of trouble that David did. And I'm not even talking about the sin and its consequences. I'm talking about even just take the other things that happened. He's a chosen king for God's people, and he is chased out. And he is in a cold, damp cave while his enemies are outside waiting. And he can write things like this. He can be near to the point of death. Most of us would be tempted to give him the advice Job's wife gave him. You might as well just go ahead and get it over with. We would not give him much hope. Good thing we weren't around back then. David retains hope in God. And then in Psalm 10, verse 17. Lord, thou hast heard the despair of the humble, the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. David retained his hope. And brothers and sisters, you do not have to feel hopeful in order to do that. You don't have to feel like everything is going to turn out right. It's good when you do. And praise the Lord for it. But if you don't, it doesn't mean that you have no faith. It means that you're destitute. You have nothing. But he says in the Psalms, he will not despise the prayer of the destitute. In his lamenting of the sin of Israel, and we'll look more at this hopefully next week, Jeremiah said, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3, verses 21 to 26. If you read all of Lamentations, I'll tell you, it is pretty discouraging. It was a discouraging time in Israel's history. They had been taken captive for their sin, and Jeremiah was lamenting it, but even in that, he retained hope in God, because he knew it was of God's mercies that he was not consumed, that God was a faithful God, and that a man, no matter what point he gets to in his life, it is good that he should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is righteous to make your lament known to God, and it is also good to hope and wait for Him. As you wait for Him, He's promised He will renew your strength. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for giving us the example of servants like David and Jeremiah and so many others. I pray that we would put this type of prayer into practice, that we would not retain all of our previously understood ideas and techniques that cause us to come to You in a formal and dead way, but that we would come to You full, that we would cast our burden upon You, that we would make known our words and our thoughts unto You, and that You would sustain us. I pray that You would bind our church together, and that we would faithfully pursue Your goodness throughout our lives. In Christ's name, amen.